worship song, and that the thought of worship has been on my mind this morning. We sang glory, glory to our King, and we sang Alleluia. One of the songs that we used to sing frequently as I was growing up, I guess we still sing it, is found in this book. maybe not quite as rousing a song, but it's number 18. We now have met to worship thee and glorify thy name, dear Lord. Help everyone attentive be and heed the teaching of thy word. Fill every heart with love divine. Teach every tongue thy praise to sing. Help each to say, Lord, we are thine, and all we have to thee we bring. You know, sometimes we talk about worship in more general terms, refer it to the different aspects of the service, and I'm fine with that. You know, the way that I was using worship in the beginning is that where we're particularly recognizing God and praising Him. But then, of course, we talk about the worship hour being this part. Assist thy servant to proclaim the gospel message plain and pure, that all who hear accept the same and make in thee salvation sure. In thee alone help us to trust, and in thy love and laws abide. And when our bodies turn to dust, our souls in heaven be glorified. How many among us was it that the bodies began to turn to dust last year? Was it 5? I'm not quite sure. Most of us are quite a bit younger than those that experienced that. But it's a reality that we don't know. And so that is why we turn to the Lord. That is what He has called us to. I was thinking of, in our Sunday school lesson, we haven't quite got to this part. In our study in the book of John, we haven't gotten quite to this part of several verses that I'm going to refer to this morning. I'm not really turning to a particular passage and reading from it. I'm referring to a number of different scriptures. The different writers give different aspects of what happened when Jesus was seen after His resurrection. And Matthew talks about the women that had gone to the tomb, and they were going back to tell the disciples, and then it says, Jesus met them saying, all hail. And they came and held Him by the feet and worshiped Him. I think maybe that's the only one of the Gospels that actually says they worshiped Him. But in both in Luke and in John, I was thinking that there was just an awe and an excitement that is implied by these verses, even though worship isn't mentioned. You remember that the two that were on the road to Emmaus afterwards said our hearts burned within Him when He talked to us, and they got so excited they rushed back to tell the disciples about it. And before they could tell them what had happened, this is what they said: the Lord is risen indeed, meaning He really is, and hath appeared to Simon. And then I was thinking about Thomas too, sometimes called Doubting Thomas. The first time that Jesus appeared, he wasn't there, and he said, you know, unless I put my finger in his hands or in his side, I'm not going to believe. Well, a week later, Jesus appeared, and He showed Thomas His hands and His side. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And that's the Lord and God that we worship this morning. Now, some of you have heard me say this, and maybe some of you heard it several times. One of the things I think about at times, I say this is what I'm thinking about. I have asked the question, I want to ask myself, I want to ask you, are we living our Christian life as a religion or as a relationship? Now, there's several verses I'd like to refer to here from John 14. And it'll be brief. You can turn to it if you want. It's just kind of a passing reference here. One of the things I've been thinking about is when we have a relationship with someone, whether it be a marriage relationship, whether it's a close friend, there are certain things that we do if it's going to nurture that relationship. And if we do things that don't, then it causes difficulty. It doesn't grow. And so I've been thinking about love is what helps us to want to do what we should. And so I hope we're living in the love rather than in the should, the want to rather than the should. Jesus said in John 14, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Now the one that has that relationship with me will want to keep my commandments. And then he says, that's in 14:21, and then in 14:23, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Now, I realize that we all live in the should sometimes. We should. And, you know, there are times when we don't really feel like it, but we still should. And when we do what we should, then the Lord at times, well, the Lord simply meets us when we're willing to respond in obedience and does something inside that can change it, you know, that we want to. And sometimes it's a process. But then he says this in that same passage. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. Thinking about Peter, and in this we will get to in several weeks as we're here studying in the book of John. Thinking about what Jesus said to Peter. You remember, of course, that Peter denied Jesus three times after he had said there in the upper room, I'm not going to do it, you know, even if all the others. And yet when they came to arrest Jesus, they all fled. And then Peter ended up denying Jesus, and some of his old life just came out. You know, what's in the heart tends to come out. And he even cursed and swore and those kind of things. But then afterward, he wept bitterly. He felt so bad about it. One of the things I've been thinking about is, it is true that Jesus came, his sacrifice is for the forgiveness of sins. But what about the shame? I'm sure Peter was so ashamed. And I'm going to get to grace in just a bit here, talking about grace just a little bit in closing. But you know that the grace of God meets us, and we have forgiveness of sins, and he can remove that shame, that we don't have to be under that. The grace of God meets us there. Well, Peter had denied him three times, and it says he went out and wept bitterly. And there in John 21, here Jesus is speaking to him, and it says here in 15 through 17, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto me, Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. It may be that because he had denied him three times, that Jesus asked him this question three times. I'm not sure, but when John wrote the gospel in Greek, and they were probably speaking Aramaic, but he did translate it into both of the Greek words, both agape and phileo. Agape being that love that God has that doesn't depend on the recipient. And so Jesus both asked him, and I didn't bother to look up, I just know that both appear. And the phileo is more the friendship kind of love. Now, Peter And the other disciples, I'm sure there was a relationship with Jesus. They couldn't walk with him for 3 years without there being a relationship. But something happened. Something happened after Jesus rose from the dead, and especially when the Holy Spirit came and indwelt them. They were different. The people in Acts said, they wondered, what is with these men? It was particularly referring to Peter and John in that case. I mean, these are unlearned and ignorant men. Now, the reason they were so amazed is because of their boldness. Now, in the garden, they ran away. But here, they were bold. And it says in Acts, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, it occurred to me that the kind of relationship that happened for Peter, perhaps kind of beginning here and then continuing, put him in a position to really be able to feed the lambs and to feed the sheep. You know, when God does something in reality in our lives, then we are in a position to pass that on to others. And so then it isn't in the should, but in the want to category. We want to share what Jesus has done for us. I have thought a number of times lately that we get excited when God does something for us that we cannot do for ourselves. When it's more than just training and discipline, and those things have their place. I'm going to close then with just reading text from several songs, and they are quite familiar, and especially the last one, very familiar, has been around for many years, and they have to do with grace. Wonderful grace of Jesus reaching, or greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. And then he says, wonderful, the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all-sufficient grace for even me, broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise his name. And this one, marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilt. Marvelous grace, infinite grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Marvelous grace, infinite grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. John Newton, I understand, a slave trader, but when God got a hold of him, he changed. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. He said, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. And then this one, I can't really wrap my mind around what eternity really is like. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Let's kneel. We come to you, Lord, this morning as people of need. We come to you to continue to receive your grace. You pour it out without measure. And it's all because of what the Lord Jesus has done for us. Bless each part of the service. Help us to open our hearts to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you.